Shus, I acknowledge Rabbi Arbisfeld. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. So always continue to be able to be supporting Torah in such beautiful ways.
He's recuperating.
Okay. Listen, the topic of the day is part of the human and that is davening for a chole. We daven each and every day. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah to daven on a daily basis is a mitzvah d'oraisa. According to the Ramban, it's a d'rabbanan. We daven for all kinds of needs, ranging from the spiritual to the physical. Chazal established a formal nusach hatfila, which highlights all these various needs. One of the brachos in the Shmona Esrei focuses on the theme of refuah, refa'enu. We ask in general terms that Hashem grant refuah shleima b'chole anecha, all those who are sick. If a person wants to daven for a specific chole, there's the option of adding a sentence within the bracha of refa'enu, and it's printed in many sidurim, asking for a refuah shleima for any number of individuals, yihiratzon lufanecha, shetzishach me'er refuah shleima l'shamayim, and so on. Another option is to say such a thing within a different bracha, within Shema Koleinu, or else at the end of davening, within the tachanunim portion, after the last bracha of Shmona Esrei. But davening for a chol is not limited to the construct of Shmona Esrei. Minhag Yisrael for many centuries is to say a tefillah mishaberach for a choleh, typically in the context of Kriyas HaTorah, but also in connection to recitation of Tehillim. And there are other occasions which we may wish or perhaps even be required to daven for a choleh. In many of these instances, there are halachic guidelines and parameters that exist regarding the manner in which we are to ask and to daven for a chole. So I'd like to explore with you together, by way of introduction, a few examples in Chumash where we find davening on behalf of somebody who is in need of refuah. We have coming up Parshas Vayera. We see a number of interesting connections in that parsha, as well as some other examples as well. So if you look in source number one, in Parshas Vayera, we read about Avram Avinu davening on behalf of Abimelech. We know Abimelech abducted Sarah, and this caused him and his wife and many in his kingdom a great deal of physical suffering. Hashem sternly rebukes Abimelech and tells him, you must return this woman. And Hashem also tells Abimelech that if you do that, I reassure you all will be okay, because he's a Navi, and he'll daven on your behalf. And so the Torah describes, in fact, that Abimelech returns Sarah and does his best to appease both Abraham and Sarah. And then it says in the Pasuk, Vayispal Abraham el Elohim, Abraham daven, in fact, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem healed Abimelech and his wife and all those who were in need of a refuah. I was thinking of another example that maybe at first glance we wouldn't associate with a tefillah for a choleh, but perhaps there is a connection, and that is regarding the makos in Mitzrayim. We know that many of the makos in Mitzrayim required Moshe Rabbeinu to daven, to intervene, to remove the maka, and we know that the Torah refers to the makos in many places as illnesses, Madvei Mitzrayim, and Choli Mitzrayim. So here's one example in the context of Makas Tzvardeya, where Moshe goes and davens. He cries out, "Vayitzak Moshe Hashem al dvar ha-tzvardim asher sam lefaro," and indeed Hashem removed the Makkah. This is true for Tzvardeya. It also is mentioned in the Chumash regarding Makas Orov, Makas Barad, and Makas Arba. So again, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, and strong languages in the Pasuk are used, Vayetar, Vayitzak, in order to remove the illness of the Makkah. Now, Paro's request of Moshe was probably not as sincerely motivated as Abimelech, as evidenced by his change of heart once the Makkah went away. Then really Paro went back to his old ways. But nevertheless, Moshe was asked to daven on behalf of Paro and on behalf of the Egyptians, and he did so, and this resulted in the removing of the suffering. Perhaps the most classic example in Chumash of a tefillah on behalf of a chole, I'm sure we all know this pasuk, is Moshe Rabbeinu davening on behalf of his sister Miriam, who was struck with tzaras when she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. And there, Moshe's tefillah is very short and sweet, succinct, five words. Moshe cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kael na refa na la. And Hashem heals Miriam. It's worth mentioning another example in Chumash of Moshe Rabbeinu davening for a refuah, and that's in Parshas Chukas. The Torah describes in Parshas Chukas how Bnei Yisrael were complaining about the travels, and as they did that, they badmouthed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and also Moshe, and they spoke against Moshe. What do we need this for? What do we need the month for? And Hashem unleashed a epidemic of nechashim, of these snakes, and they were biting people, and little by little they would be dying from this bite. And they recognized, Bnei Yisrael recognized their sin, and they apologized to Moshe, and they said, please daven for us. And there as well, we find after people came to Moshe, it says, we feel really bad about this, please daven, v'yispalo Moshe be'ad ha'am. Them told Moshe again to heal the situation. So these are, I think, an interesting group of examples. This series of examples that we quoted from Moshe Rabbeinu or Avraham davening on behalf of others that they should experience a refuah. There are a couple of aspects that are common to all these examples. First of all, the tefillah that was offered was not just by an ordinary person. All these tefillahs were offered by an individual of exemplary character, a tzaddik, a leader, Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu. Secondly, the tefillah was prompted by the person who represented the suffering, who was either afflicted themselves or the kingdom or both, and they requested or they implored Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, please daven for us. And in response, they did daven. This is consistent with a Gemara. I didn't see this connection made, but I think it's intuitive. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that a person who has a sick person in their midst, in their home, so it says the Gemara, Yelech etzel chacham v'yivakesh alav rachamim, should approach a chacham, a leader, and ask that chacham daven on their behalf. This is cited in the Shulchan Aruch as well, in Hilchos Bikur Cholim, at the end of the Yoredeya. Yesh Omrim, the Ramah quotes, Mi sheyesh l'chol beveso, yeh etzel chacham, shebe'ir, sheyivakesh alav rachamim. And in Mukhe Yosef, which is probably the source of the Ramah, says that this was the minhag in Tzarfas, that they would go to the rabbi, he would bless them, probably also means he would daven on their behalf. The Ramban in Chumash makes mention of this practice in connection to a pasuk in Parashas Yisro, when Moshe Rabbeinu describes to his father-in-law what he would be doing when the people waited on long lines to meet with Moshe. It wasn't just about sechsuchim and arguments that he had to rule who's right and who's wrong, but included in the list was ki yavo elai ha'am lidrosh elokim. What does it mean? They came lidrosh elokim. Explains the Ramban, Heshiv Moshe Lechosno in source 8, that they had to come from many things. People had sick among their in a family, people who they knew they were sick, and they came to Moshe with the request that he daven for their sick. So here you have again a source for the idea of going to a chacham and asking that he daven. How do we understand this? What's the power of the chacham to daven? So the Me'iri says something fascinating. The Me'iri takes it in the following way, in source number 9. And that Gemara in Bava Basra that we quoted, that a person should go to a chacham, says the Me'iri that the chacham will do what? He will explain to the individual who's coming, this is what you need to do. This is how you are to daven. Yelech etzel chacham v'yilmod heimenu darche hatfilos the Yivakesh Rachamim. So for the Me'iri, it's not simply, or maybe not at all, about the Chacham davening for the Chole, but rather that the Chacham can guide the individual as to what he should do to daven. But the general understanding is that somehow there's a power in the Chacham's tefillah to daven on behalf of the others. Now there's something else to notice. The Me'iri talks about how the person who is concerned about the ill chole in their house should learn how to daven. What about the chole himself? What's the role of the tefillah of the chole? There is another example in our parasha, Parshas Vayera, that seems to show, in a sense, the tefillah of the chole is more powerful, more readily accepted than the tefillah of others. And that's in the story of Yishmael. This is when Hagar is banished from the house with Yishmael, and they run out of water, and she casts the child aside, and then it says that she's literally crying and praying, and the Malach calls out in source number 10, by Yishmael Kim. We read this also on Rosh Hashanah, as you know. Yishmael Kim is Kol Hanar. By Yikra Malach El Kim El Hagar Min Hashemah V'yamol Malach Hagar El Tiri. Do not be afraid. Ki Shama El Kim El Kol Hanar Basher Husham. Which means what? Hashem has heard the cry of the Nar, of Yishmael, of the Chole. Says Rashi, based on Chazal, Mikan, Sheyofet Tfilas HaChole Mitfilas HaChirim Ola V'hikodem Esuiz Kavel. In other words, that more readily is the tefillah of the chole accepted than the tefillah of others. And this raises an interesting question that's discussed by the Mefarshim there on Rashi, because it is a rule in the Gemara of Ein Chavush Matir Atzmum Vesar Surin. If somebody is incarcerated and he has to get out of prison, sometimes it takes somebody else to intercede, to do whatever, shtadlus, tefillah, whatever it is, to help the person get out of prison. The person who themselves, they're boxed in, they're incarcerated, they can't do it themselves. So does this rule apply, or when does it apply in terms of tefillah b'chole? One could say that it's similar to that, and the chole is not capable of freeing himself. That's why you need dafka, the tefillah of others, whether it's the chacham, whether it's the person who's the head of the household. But the chole himself is not capable, and here you have an indication to the contrary that the cholest tefillah is in fact the most effective. So there are those mefarshim who suggest that when it comes to tefillah, we don't apply the rule in chavash matir atzmo. This is not the same thing. Tefillah is different. Tefillah, everybody can daven. And others say that it depends on the situation. If you have the ability to have kavana, then to the contrary, the tefillah of the cholah is the best tefillah to offer, but not always that possible. And sometimes if a person can't reach the level kavana that's required, then to the contrary, even a tefillah which doesn't have the perfect kavana, but if it's someone else's tefillah, that could have a better power and could, in fact, be effective more than the tefillah of the chole. And this is a position taken by the Sefer Hasidim, which we'll soon get to. Let me introduce it in the following way. There's another dimension that we should consider in some of the examples that we mentioned earlier, such as the case of Avram Avinu on behalf of Avimelech. And also in some of the cases of Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, with Paro and with the Nechashim, and also with Miriam. The situation, the crisis of the chole, was precipitated by the fact that the person who ends up davening was affected. And part of the experience of the tefillah included an element of granting mechila, if you will, and letting go of, to the extent that there could be any kind of kpeda, any kind of hostility, any kind of feelings of bad will. So, to the contrary, Avraham Avinu was more than happy to be mochel Avimelech, and we learn that halachos of granting mechila from the fact that Avraham Avinu was mochel Avimelech and davened in his behalf. And a similar thing you see in the cases of, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu in the Chashim, in Parshas Chukas, where Bnei Yisrael apologized. So there is a medrash in Parshas Chukas in that connection. Source number 12. The medrash tells us that we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was tremendously modest. He was an anav. He did not delay in davening. And it also tells you the Koach HaTshuva, that Bnei Yisrael said, we are sorry. And based on that, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to daven, and he wasn't cruel. He was willing to be mochel. Had he not davened, the suffering would have continued. Because he was willing to be mevater and to be mochel, he davened and the suffering was removed. And so the Medrash goes on to connect this to the story of Avram and Avimelech. V'cheinu omer v'yispal Avram Elokim v'yibokim es Avimelech, and so on. And it goes on and talks about that if a person does do something wrong to someone else and says, I'm sorry, so then the individual who was hurt has an obligation to be mochel, and if he doesn't do so, he's called a chote. So here you have the idea that the tefillah can sometimes go together with a granting of mechila. This is true in the case of Avraham and Avimelech, in the case of Moshe with the Nechashim. Maybe in the case of Miriam, you say he really didn't have to be mochel, he never really was bothered by it to begin with. In the case of Paro and Mitzrayim, so not quite sure what to make in that situation. But based on this, we find the Gemara in Bava Kamma, it's actually the Mishnah that talks about the obligation, source number 13, the obligation to ask Mechila, as we learn out from here, when Avraham prayed for Avimelech, and you see that Avimelech asked for Mechila, and Avraham was willing to grant Mechila. That's how we learn out, Shelo Yehei Amochel Achzari, the one who's granted forgiveness should not be cruel. The Tosefta over there in Bava Kamma, that same Mishnah comments, that even if the person who assaulted you did not specifically ask you to daven, you should still go out of your way to daven on their behalf if they're suffering. Which probably means he didn't ask for specifically that he daven. The words daven for me did not come out of Avimelech's mouth. Nevertheless, Hanechbal, the one, the victim, tzarech sheivakesh al rachamim shenemar v'yistal Avraham el ha'elokim. Something interesting. In the case of Avraham and Avimelech, the tefillah that Avraham uttered on behalf of Avimelech had another benefit for Avraham himself. Besides healing Avimelech, it also brought about a Yeshua for Avraham's own situation. How so? We know that Sarah couldn't have children for many, many years. And we know that just after the story, the very next pasuk talks about how Sarah conceived. Hashem pokad es Sarah. Or actually, where it may be earlier, but it's mentioned that Sarah was able to conceive, and so the Gemara tells us that a person is mevakesh rachamim. It's next part, right afterwards. If a person is mevakesh rachamim for someone else, so they are going to be ants in their need of that very same thing. In other words, the people in Avimelech's kingdom, the women could not give birth. They were not, whatever the particular illness was, they were not able to give birth, and Sarah needed that same Yeshua, so she was answered first. Says the Gemara, this is in source number 16, Kol mevakesh rachamim al chaver v'hu tzarech oso davar, hu neinu tchila. V'Hashem pakad, Hashem had already answered, even before he answered the tefillah that Avraham directed toward Avimelech, Hashem already answered Avraham's own situation. Now, the Sefer Chassidim wonders in the following way. On the one hand, here we see that if you daven for somebody else, you'll be answered first. That means that your tefillah can certainly work for yourself if it's going to work for others. And then again, we find examples in the Gemara where somebody davens for others and it works for them, but it doesn't work for the person who is mispalel. And he brings examples, for example, Rav Chiya in Marchulin, he davened for everyone's flax that not get ruined, and in his tefillah, in his chus, in fact, everyone else's flax grew fine, but his own flax was not okay. And that shows, says the Sefer Chassidim, that we have a problem called Ein Chabush Matir Ashm Beis Asurim when it comes to tefillah for a chole as well. The chole, or the person who davens for themselves, doesn't always get answered. If it's about you, you may get answered, you may not get answered. For somebody else, then there's a greater power. And yet, here we see, to the contrary, if you daven for someone else and you need that very same thing, then the tefillah will in fact be effective for you, even though technically, you couldn't daven for yourself. How could it be better if you daven for somebody else? Okay, you could think of perhaps other answers to the question. But the Sefer Chassidim, here you're davening for someone else, not for yourself. But the Sefer Chassidim says that there's a difference. Namely, let's look in the middle of the source here, number 17, toward the end of the line, in Cain, halola Avraham u'Iyov, hoel mashis pala l'acherim. There you see that he davened for others, Iyov, Avraham, and it worked for themselves. Shiny Hassan, and he brings in the factor that we mentioned just before. Shehayu Kisonin. They were, in effect, enemies to the people that they davened for. Shehayu Ru'uyim Lismoach Amapalasa. Really, by nature, they should have been very happy that the other one was suffering. Avram should be taking a certain sadistic pleasure in the fact that Avimelech was suffering, because it happened, after all, because of what he did to Sarah. So magialo, right? So Avram had to go against his nature and be mochel Avimelech and daven for Avimelech, and that's why the tefillah had the power also to help him, his own situation. Similarly with Eov, he says, and also with Eov, where the friends were taunting him throughout, they were mitzayer him, and nevertheless he davened for them, and that's why the tefillah helped for his own situation. And so we see a very powerful idea here, quote Sefer Chassidim, that the tefillah for others can be so effective, even for yourself, specifically because it was that much harder to daven for the others, because the suffering of the others was, in a sense, caused by what they did to you. Once we're on the Sefer Chassidim, there's something that he mentions toward the end, which has to do with, again, the role of the person who davens, and how they can come to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and pray on behalf of the others. And he says, because, as we find, for example, with Shmuel, where he says, I've shown you the right way, and then the Navi has to come to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, I've taught them what to do, I've taught them how to serve you, I've taught them to do your will, and therefore do what I'm asking of you. In other words, the reason why a Chacham can daven on behalf of the person who requests it is because he's able to inspire the person that approaches him and give them guidance and guide them toward tshuva, and give them, as we know sometimes, a good tzaddik can do that. And then they're able to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, see what I've done. I've elevated the level, the spiritual level of the person who asked me for Yeshua. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, grant them that Yeshua. So it's not just about asking someone to utter a tefillah, but it's also about allowing yourself to be affected and inspired and elevated by that individual. And through that, the tzaddik has the koach to ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do what he asked him to do. Okay, let us shift gears a bit and turn to a whole other realm where tefillah for a chola is so essential and part and parcel of the actual mitzvah. And that is the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, which also has a strong connection to Parshas Vayera. There's a mitzvah, as we know, of Bikur Cholim. We speak about it all the time in our davening. Right after Birchas HaTorah, we quote one of those special mitzvos, Hachnas Orchim, Bikur Cholim, and so on. The Rambam, in codifying the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, makes very clear, and we'll see the sources of the Rambam soon, that before a person who's mevakeh cholet is leaving the cholet's presence, what they must do is recite a tefillah. The Rambam says, "Hanichnas levakeh sacholet," says the Rambam, certain halachos where he's to sit, and then he says, "Misateif v'yosef l'matamim rashosav u'mevakesh obrachamim v'yotze." So, just before leaving, says the Rambam, "And mevakesh alav rachamim." The Shulchan Aruch in Bir Hilchos Bikur Cholim, based on the Gemara Nedarim, talks about the best time of the day. Today we don't necessarily accept this halacha for various reasons, but the Gemara says that a person should not be back at chola in the first 3 hours of the day, nor at the very end of the day. What's the difference? Because first 3 hours of the day, the chola generally feels better in the morning, so therefore the person who's visiting will not be prompted to be mevakesh rachamim because everything seems okay, he's not really that sick. At the end of the day, it gets a lot worse, generally, and then the person who visits figures, what's the point? It's just so bad, so he won't daven either. Therefore, you should go not the first 3 hours, not the last 3 hours, and then the Shulchan Aruch concludes, based on the Ramban, the kosher biker, the lo bikesh alav rachamim, lo kiyem hamitzvah. Lo kiyem hamitzvah. There's a deficiency in the actual performance of Bikur Cholim if the person visiting did not daven. Now the source of these ideas is the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim brings the story of Rabbi Akiva, who had a Talmud, and this Talmud no one was visiting for whatever reason. Rabbi Akiva went to visit, and when he saw the situation, he realized he had to create fresh air, things were musty, whatever it was, and he made sure to attend to the needs of the cholet and and create an opportunity for him to breathe better, and then he was able to survive. So the Talmud says, Rabbi Hachayisani, you revived me. Rabbi Akiva darshins based on that, Komi she'ein mevaker cholim ki ilu shofich damim. Person who is not mevaker cholim is equivalent to a murderer. Visit the sick, you're giving them life. You don't visit the sick, gorim lo shiyamus. So the Gemara asks, what does that mean? You're causing the person to live or not to live. The Gemara says, what it means is, continue on the next page, if you don't visit the sick, you're not asking for rachamim. We'll see soon the specific words. Lo sheyechye v'lo sheyamus. And then you have the other Gemara about not to visit certain times of the day. The tour in Hilchos Bikur Cholim, right in the beginning, says mitzvah gedolah hi levaker shemitoch kach yevakesh olav rachamim v'nimtza ki'ilu mechaya also. Says the tour, one of the key aspects of Bikur Cholim is in order that you'll daven, and that can, in fact, cause a person to live. And then the tour mentions the other point. The other idea is, if you see the situation, you ma'ayin b'inyano, you'll see what needs to be done. If he needs anything, mishtadabo lehamtzilo, ve'ose sheyichadu v'yapsu lefanav, they'll clean up and they'll create an opportunity for the person to be more healthy. So we have seemingly two important aspects to the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. One is tefillah and one is attending to their needs. But one important aspect is tefillah. That's the comment of the Ramban that we alluded to before. The Beis Yosef quotes it. Shaminan mehacha debikul cholim kidei sheyichabu v'yirtzu lefanav v'yasu lo tzrachim hatzvichim lecholyo, that you can see that you tend to the needs of the cholim, v'yirtzu nachas ruachim chaveirav, and also to create a good feeling with him. That's another aspect of helping them emotionally, not just in terms of the material, physical needs. The od, k'dei sheyichavein daito l'rachamim, in order that you'll be able to focus on tefillah v'yivakesh alav, and therefore, that's the sentence of the Ramban, ha'mevakes ha'cholet v'lo b'kesh alav rachamim, lo kiyei mitzvah zu. So many are b'dayik in the Ramban. It doesn't say lo kiyei mitzvah, as quoted by the Beis Yosef, lo kiyei mitzvah zu, meaning to say there's something perhaps that you fulfilled, maybe in terms of the other aspects of the mitzvah, b'kecholin, but this particular aspect of the mitzvah, which is tefillah, you do not fulfill if you don't daven. The Sefer Charedim, in the time of the Arizal, the Sefer Charedim says, one aspect of the mitzvah is, k'sheyira chaber b'tzar yitzar b'libo v'yispal v'yivakesh alav rachamim, and again, v'yivakesh zachol v'lo b'kesh alav rachamim v'lo kiyei mitzvah b'kesh alav rachamim. Again, very strong language. Without tefillah, you do not fulfill the mitzvah b'kesh cholim at all. We had the language of the Gemara that we just quoted before, that person comes to daven, and if you don't go, you're not going to know to daven. So the Rush explains what is the importance of coming, because you never know the right moment where a tefillah can be accepted. If you don't go, you can't daven. The zui rogid ola shim hayim mevakro hayim vakish alav rachamim the efsher she eis ratzon hu the tia tfilaso nishmas. You never know when the right moment is there as eis ratzon for tfilah to be accepted. Umeniya sabiko goim sheyamus. How important is it that a person who comes from vakir chola is someone who would be likely to daven? And how bad is it if a person is from vakir chola and doesn't recognize their obligation to daven, or to the contrary, sees it as something they shouldn't be doing? So there's a drasha of the Talmud HaRashba called Torah HaMincha of Yaakov Sakri. In Parshas Vayera, he has many, many pages about the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. I have here an excerpt of what he says. And he also accentuates the importance of davening. And he writes, "Ein adam mispal al chola bekavana gemura," not just about davening, but davening with proper kavana, ein lo levakro. Better not to visit. Ki ha-mispalel alav ein piv v'libo shavim. If a person is davening without being heartfelt in the tefillah, hari zechonei v'mereya. It's like a person's deceitful. V'mechal ha-oivim sh'omar le'em, that David spoke about them, v'imbal liros shav yedaber, which he says referring to, kisha'o yebal levaker, mispalel, she'ein piv v'libo shavim, which is giving them lip service, but not davening. The La'od, he says, who knows what they could be thinking, and this is a terrible thing, where people are basically, doing the exact opposite. I once heard a story, which is a chilling story. In the shtetl, there was a person who was a very nasty person. For some reason, he was involved with the Chevra Kadisha. That was his, he did that too. It's hard for me to tell the story, but apparently such a person existed. When he'd be mevakeh chole, you would see, as he's in the room with the chole, he would be making motions like, okay, I think I communicated. Basically, what he's thinking about is not the positive outcome, but something else, and what will have to be dealt with, I mean, that's a perfect, grotesque example of what's being described over here, which again is a terrible, terrible thing. And then the Torah Samincha concludes and says that's what David was talking about, and he would call these people Rishayim, and to the contrary, anyone who's Mizera Yisrael, Yishlul Rachim Al Chavero, and so on. And this is codified the halacha in Shulchan Aruch there in Shin Lamed Hei. The Ramah says Yesh Omrim, the Sone Yachol Eloch Vakeh Chole. That's what some say. Person who's an enemy, maybe he thinks he can make up. V'lo Nirali, says the Ramah, it's not correct. I don't agree. El Lo Yevakeh Chole. Someone who is seen as an enemy, what not min mevakeh chole, nor should it be menachem avel, shelo yichashiv kesameach le'edo, which is not be perceived as if he's happy for the misfortune of the other. Sometimes someone might be well-meaning, thinking that maybe this is a way to make up, but to the contrary, if you haven't made up yet, then the way to make up is not to be mevakeh chole, but to do something perhaps in a different way, and then hopefully after you make up, then would be the time to mevakeh chole. There's a halacha how a person is mevakesh rachamim b'fnei acholer, as opposed to how he's mevakesh rachamim when he's davening, let's say, in Shimon Esrei or in Shul. So the Shulchan Aruch brings a halacha based on the Gemara that when a person is in the presence of the choler, first of all, you can say it in any language. You don't have to stick to Lashon HaKodesh. However, if you're mevakesh shelo b'fana, then you should daven b'Lashon HaKodesh. So that's one halacha. Another halacha in Surah, that's one halacha. The other halacha is in the Gemara Brachos. If a person is in the presence of the choleh, we see that's the case, then you don't mention the name of the choleh, you just say, bring refuah shleima to the person here, but not in. How do we know that? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam, he doesn't mention Miriam's name. Kel na refer na la lo kamat kirshma de Miriam. Now it's fascinating. There's a comment of the Dega Machne Ephraim, one of the Talmidim in the early Talmud of Hasidim, Talmud of the Best or the Magid.
He's a grandson
of the Best. So he says there's a remez to Yocheved and Miriam, even though Moshe didn't use the name Miriam bas Yocheved. You usually use the mother's name when you're davening, but he said Kel na refer na la. But if you take the gematria of Rafana, it's Rafa is 281 and Na is 51, so it's 332. If you take the word Miriam, it's 290, and you chevet, and you add them together, you get the same gematria of 332. So Rafana is the gematria of Miriam Yochevet, but he didn't actually say the name Miriam Bas Yochevet. So that's a halacha when you're davening in the presence of the choleh. I happened to show where I was in Passaic. They had a box of these tefilos, tchinos, and bakashos put out by an organization called Efrat. It's a wonderful organization based in Eretz Yisrael. And they have various tchinos for different types of things. So I happened to notice there's a paragraph, tefila al hacholeh. And they have a whole long yehi ratzon. But the problem is that they write, shetishach ufor shreimo lacholeh hazeh. And then they write ploni ben plonis. So that's not correct. If it's chole hazeh, then he can't say the name.
Or you don't have to say the name.
No, to the contrary. It sounds like one shouldn't say the name. Perhaps the Chassam Sofer says that's being or a kitrug if you mention the name, so that's why it's better, dafka, when you're the presence of the chol, not to say the name. But al kol panim, that's the halacha. The Magen Avraham quotes this very distinction in source 30. Hamavakish rachamim al chaveru ein sarach lahazkir shemo v'hanim yirid b'fanav. You're right, from the language you can say ein sarach, but perhaps one shdafka not. Avokshis paro shelo b'fanav sarach lahazkir shemo. The Shlomo Zalman, it's brought in the Hanhagos for Shlomo Zalman, when should a person actually daven? I mean, you have to be a little discreet also. It can look a little bit strange, you know, mamish, to start davening, crying out. It can be maybe not exactly the most perfect way to do it either. So he says, there's a way to think about it. He says, Neil, first of all, Einat tefila nechleles b'mitzvah b'kol cholam el k'shmispal b'shas habikur dafka. One thing is clear. It has to be in connection to the visit. Ella, he says, she'ein tzarech l'spala b'fanav mamish. What does that mean? U'pa'amim adarabah. Mutav she'yifrosh l'tzdadim. She'lo yargish achola b'kach b'yidak. Sometimes a person is so doing it so conspicuously that could rile up the chola and compromise his health. So you have to know how to be l'spala as part of the mitzvah, but not to do it in such a way that can make the person more worried about their situation. So therefore, he says, at the cheder samuch. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, so you can go to a room right next to where you were before, but not, you haven't left. Okay, so that's what he suggests. I was wondering, according to this, would he mention the name or not? Because you're there as part of your experience of the mitzvah, but if you're not mamish doing it b'fanav, so then maybe you would mention the name, or is it considered like b'fanav because you're doing it as part of your bikur? Not sure. He doesn't say. Then he has an interesting question. What if you wish the cholah before shleima? Does that count as the mitzvah of mevakesh alav rachamim? So I saw Rav Asher Weiss doesn't think so. He has an article on this topic in Parshas Baloscha, and he, or is it maybe Vayera, I forget, one of the places, and he feels that that doesn't really do the trick. To daven is to daven. Of course, shleima is a nice bracha, it's a wish, but that's not what we're looking for. But apparently, Shlomo Zalman felt that that could count. He says, "Gam kam mashem mevarcho kishiniftan lufanav before shleima chashiv tefila." So that counts as a tefillah. However, if you're not doing it in the same place, in the house, in that area, you can connect the tefillah that you recite after you leave to the Bikur Cholim itself, and therefore you have to find an opportunity, one way or another, as part of the Bikur, to be mispalel. There's a major discussion about Bikur Cholim on Shabbos, and Bechal Tefillah for Cholah on Shabbos. Because with limited time, we can't completely survey the topic, but just to point out some issues. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses that, as the Gemara concludes here, Bekoshi hitiru l'nachem aveilem l'vakeh cholah b'Shabbos. We know that Shabbos is meant to be a day of joy, of simcha, of happiness, and to the extent that one is mevakeh cholah, and one davens for cholah, one can certainly fall into depression. And that's the steer to the opinion of Onik Shabbos. So there's different opinions about what happens when you mevakesh cholah b'Shabbos. You have to be careful in the way that you mevakesh rachamim, and you may have to change somewhat in the language. So there's different opinions I mentioned in the Gemara. One says Shabbos himilizak, you don't actually daven, but you say Shabbos has in it the koach to be able to help you, that we don't need to cry out, but just Shabbos itself will be sufficient to bring about a Yeshua and a Refuah. That is the first opinion. Rabbi Meir says, Yecholah Hisha Terachim. Rabbi Yehuda says, the way you do it is you say, Hamakim Rachim Alecha, Ve'al Cholei Yisrael. So you put it all together and you leave it at that. And then you have this other opinion, Shavni Yishu Shalayim says that when you leave, you say, Shabbos Yimei Lizok Ufur Kravalovo V'rachamav Merubim V'shivsu V'shalom. You add those words as well. And the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Bikur Cholim mentions that you say when you wish for a chol for shlema, you say besoch shachol Yisrael, or b'Shabbos hu omer Shabbos in milizok for kravalava, one of the opinions that we had earlier. In Hilchos Shabbos, he actually brings the other opinion of Shavna, and he says that lo yomer lo kedech sh'omer lo b'chol, el omer lo Shabbos in milizok for kravalava, v'racham av merubim b'shivtu b'shalom, and have a rest of b'Shabbos in shalom. And then the Rama says you don't have to add that, v'chei no'agu, so we don't typically hear people say those words on the Bikur Cholim visit on Shabbos. The Meiri explains in source 35 that when you mevaka chol b'Shabbos, tzorach shelo yitzta'er v'lo yehit tzorek ala b'tfila. Be careful not to go overboard in the davening part, and lo yitzar b'nei beiso b'dvarav adarabba, try to get people more in a sense of a calm spirit, and say divri nichumim Shabbos yimilizu k'vur k'vav alavo b'shem ha'schus shmirasa tei megina aleichem. The schus of shmirat Shabbos will protect you. When it comes to saying a mishaberach on Shabbos, the way that it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, we typically make mishaberach all the time on Shabbos for whatever cholim we have in mind or people mention or think of. So the Shulchan Aruch brings the languages in the Ramah, v'chei mutter levarach ha'chole ha'mesukan bo'vayom. The mishaberach should be for cholim mesukanim. That's where we allow, because of the nature of pikuach nefesh, so we can stretch the rules a little bit, pikuach nefesh, so we're crying out for such cholim. So the Magen Avraham says that would suggest that if it's not a cholim mesukan, you should not say a mishaberach. And that's what he suggests. And then he wonders, he says, the tema, lama nohagu ha'idna she'omer achaz mishaberach l'chole, va'omer ha'moka mishaberach l'fu shema, and so on, that also lama kein b'shabbos. So why would it be allowed to say mishaberach for a cholah that's not mesukah? So maybe, he says, we rely on the Ramban. The Ramban paskins that one of the other opinions in the Gemara Shabbos that allows you to say hamokim rachim alecha. So maybe we go like the Ramban, shemutu loma hamokim rachim alecha b'sosha chol Yisrael. Once he said b'sosha chol Yisrael, that's enough to justify saying a tefillah for the cholah. But more than that, you shouldn't do. And then he brings in saying Shabbos imi lizok. There is a tshuva of the Beis Yosef in Afkas Rocha, which perhaps could justify something of what we do when we make a mishaberach for all cholim, not just misukanim. And the tshuva has to do with somebody who sends a message, he's a cholah, that they should daven, he gives an adava to the shul, and he asks that they should make a mishaberach for him. Can you say, on Shabbos, Hashem yirpo'eyu refuah shleima, amen, or is that a problem like the Gemara says in Shabbos, that you have to say Shabbos in milizu kufur kravalavo? Says the Beis Yosef, it appears, he says, it's only a problem to the extent that it's going to bring us to tears, to crying, to sadness, and that will happen one of two ways. If the cholah is here, then clearly there's more likelihood that there's going to be a lot of crying and sadness. Or if it's a very intense type of a tefillah, that is a problem. But when you just say a simple nusach mishaberach, that's not necessarily going to bring everybody to tears. Lo yavol is oras shum b'chi b'tzar v'she'eno bo el levarcho b'lvad mitzad hanadava she'asa. Basically says, he gave an adava to the shul, let's send a bracha his way. So therefore, to the extent that it's not a chol mesukan, so basically you have it both ways. If it's a chol mesukan, you're permitted. If it's not a chol mesukan, so they're sending an adava, so you're sending a wish. The schus and adava, they should be better. So then you don't necessarily have to view it as a problem of onik Shabbos. There is a comment of the Ran in the Dorim, which the post can wrestle with whether to accept the halacha. Rav Moshe is not inclined to accept it at face value, halacha, but it is something that the Ran says. It's not brought by the poskim in terms of the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara's lashon that we quoted before is that a person who's not going to visit, the choleh is not mevakesh lo sheyechye v'lo sheyamus. What does that mean? That means that if you visit, you can daven for one of two things, sheyechye or sheyamus. Says the Ran, that's correct. Near the einai, the pa'amim tzarech levakesh rachamim al choleh sheyamus. It's possible for a person to be in a situation that they recognize that the best course for this person is that they should not remain in suffering, and kigon shemitzdar hachole v'chol yohardei, the ef shelo sheyechye, the person is not, there's no way they can survive the derech ateva. He brings a gemara in Ksuvis with regard to the tira of the Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Hanasi, and it says that they're all davening for him to not to die, and Amasa the Rebbe, who is his maidservant, saw the suffering he was in, and she therefore says, to the contrary, he wrote some shiachufu ayon mesatachtonim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu up above and the forces above should overpower the forces below, that Rebbe should be taken, and says the Ran, that's the meaning of the Ran, vakesh, ham vakech cholem mo'il b'tfilaso, on both counts. If you visit the chole, you know when to daven sheyichye, and you know when to daven sheyamlus. And if you don't visit, you don't know one or the other. The Aruch HaShulchan is the only posuk I know of that actually says the halacha that that's correct. He says, Mish enum vakir enum vakir shel rachamim lo sheyichye sheyamlus, de pa'amim yesh levakish rachamim sheyamlus, kigon sheyesh lo yisurim harbe v'cholyo v'yef shelo sheyichye. Rav Moshe feels that we can't take that achrayas on ourselves. There's a tshuva here in Choshen Mishpat Chel Beisim in Ayin Dalid where he brings the Ran. But he says that could be limited to great people, Rav Chanina ben Dosa, someone who knows exactly what the tefillah can do and can't do, and the limitations of whether the person can live. And for our people in our generation, lo shayach zeh afilu gdoi Torah elo ulai liyachidim shalu yadu lanei, we don't know such yachidim, and therefore he doesn't want to accept this lahalacha. But of course it's something to be aware of. Some people suggest you can dive in some situations without saying sheyamlus, you can say Hashem should do what's best and leave it at that, as opposed to saying sheyichye. I'm not haskening, I'm saying it's certainly a very delicate issue to be aware of in this regard. The beginning of the parsha Vayera gives us a source for the mitzvah Bikur Cholin, in a sense that Hashem visits Avram. Vayera Elav Hashem doesn't say what Hashem came for. Avram had just underwent a serious operation, a bris milah. He was certainly weak. It was 3 days, Chazal say, after the bris, he was the most weak. And Hashem appears to him. So Rashi quotes from Chazal that the purpose of Hashem visiting was Bikur Cholin, v'shol b'shlomo. The tour in the beginning of Hilchos Bikur Cholim says that a person is sick, it's a mitzvah for others to visit. That means that Hashem's visit to Avram is a lesson for us. The drasha of Torah Samincha that I mentioned before explains that we don't know why Hashem came. It had to be for some purpose, and therefore you have to assume it was for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Hashem said to the Malachim, let us be Mevakir Cholim. And Hashem came with the malachim, maybe the three malachim that came also, and that was the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Even Hashem does it. But the interesting question is, in light of what we've discussed, what's the purpose of Bikur Cholim? The main idea is to daven on behalf of the Cholim. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevakir Avraham Avinu. That doesn't sound like that has the element of Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of the Cholim. Hashem is visiting Avraham. In terms of checking out what his needs are, that's for a person to check out, to know it. They need more ear, they need more to attend to this or to that. So what does it tell us? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein and Darash Moshe, here we see that even if the two reasons of Bikur Cholim don't necessarily apply, you don't have the reason of Shimush, you don't have the reason of Tefillah, yet Mechuyavin Levaker, Ki Eitzo Bikur Hashem Yisbaruch L'Shayach Shum Tam. Hashem can heal Avraham Avinu regardless of whether he visits or not. He doesn't have to be Mashmash Shechina in Avraham's tent for purposes of healing him. Says the Rav Moshe of Nir L'Hasbir, the after Ika Taimim L'HaMitzvah. A mitzvah might have any given reason, and is not, but the obligation to perform the mitzvah should not be dependent on the reason. We should never get caught up in the reason and say that's why we're doing it, for that agenda. The reasons are biurim for the chiyuv, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah has to be independent of the reason, but simply l'shem shemayim, that the mitzvah exists, and therefore you can say, well, I don't need to do this mitzvah bikur cholim. He doesn't need me to attend. He has enough nurses and whoever else that's attending, and he doesn't need my tefillah, or I can daven where I am, so I know the situation. No, there's a mitzvah bikur cholim independent of those particular reasons. The Ramban has a very interesting insight in the beginning of Parshas Vayera about Hashem's visit to Avram. It's a powerful idea. Sometimes we don't always feel validated when we do good things. We do mitzvahs, and it's important to sometimes get reinforced and encouraged and know that we're doing the right thing. So the Ramban says that the purpose of Hashem visiting Avram, appearing to Avram, was a sense of validation. We know that Avraham Avinu just went through the mitzvah bris milah, and Hashem wanted to give him, so to speak, a pat on the back, saying, Avraham Avinu, good job, you're doing right, I'm pleased with how you're acting. And we find examples, says the Ramban, of this idea, that when Klal Yisrael or an individual are doing something which is appropriate, they get validated, they finished the Mishkan, and the presence of Hashem appeared on the Mishkan because they put in all this effort, and then they were zochet to Rias HaShechina. It wasn't for a communication, it was simply a natural consequence of the mitzvah to show that Hashem was pleased with how they acted. And he brings examples, other examples of this, and he says, this is what you have over here. Avram just went through the Bismillah, and then Vayera, Eilav Hashem, because of what you did. The Ramban concludes, a bit hard to know exactly his kavana. He writes, Bizu kavanasam sha'amru. This is what Chazal mean when they say, Levakel es hachole. When it says that Hashem came to Mevakel chole, this is what they really mean. Shelo haya ledibur elu lekavod ro. It wasn't for purposes of speaking to Avram, to communicate anything specific, but to simply validate him, to show him honor. Perhaps the Ramban means that Bikur Cholim, part of the experience of uplifting the Chole, which is attending to their needs, not just physical needs, emotional needs, is to show that they matter, that no one, they're not forgotten. And that's part of the process of Bikur Cholim. And then with that, says the Ramban, there was also a refuah that came with the Mara Nevuah, Ripui L'machas Hamila Kikein Roy Lios, Ba'or Pnei Melachayim. I believe the Ramban could be explained as follows. The next source, the Ramban mentions that persons in Vakel Cholera, they take away, it's as if they took away a bit of the illness. The Hakel Me'olav. The Gemara in the Dharm talks about that idea of a Ben Gilo. Sometimes two people are so connected in terms of their personalities, in terms of their astrological signs, whatever the idea of Ben Gilo is, there's a special inyan of Bikur Cholim by a Ben Gilo. And a Ben Gilo, says the Gemara, takes away 1/60th of the Choli. But really, even any individual who's Mevakel Chole, the purpose of the mitzvah is to make it easier for the person, to take away a little bit of the tsar that they're experiencing. Every one of the aspects that we mentioned before is connected to that. If a person attends to their needs, then they're going to obviously be in a better situation than before. If you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then hopefully it will help a little bit. And if you make them feel comfortable and you make them feel good and you validate them and you make them, you know, make them sense of camaraderie and feel less lonely, all that makes them feel better. And so the Ramban is saying that when Hashem visits Avraham Avinu, it's not about davening for Avraham, it's about making the illness better, lightening the load, being nosei ba'ol. And that's the essence of everything about Bikur Cholim. And to take that in a broader sense, Rabbeinu Yonah, in two different places, talks about the importance of being sensitive to the needs of others, collective needs, individual needs. He writes in Sefer HaYira about a person's day. He says, V'yispala b'chol yom k'visachus l'shon. No, a person should have an everyday, whatever way that the words come out, al kol chole b'nei so sheyisrapu. That all the cholim should have a refuah, v'al abiriyim shelo yachagu. And those who are healthy, that they should not get sick. And they should be spared of all problems and potential hazards, and so on. In Pirkei Avos, and perhaps in light of the season that we're in, having just went through an election, bitter election, perhaps this is a very appropriate way to end as well. Rabbeinu Yonah writes on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, "Hev mispal b'shloma shel malchus," having for the welfare of the government. Because without that, one person could swallow the other, there could be protests in the streets, wherever you go. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbi Chanan ben Eskan HaKonim Omer, Shlomo Shel Malchus, Zeh HaInyan Ratz Lomar, Sheyesh L'Adam L'Espal Al Shlom Kol HaOlam. A person has an obligation to daven for the stability of the entire world, for the entire planet. U'Vitzta'er Al Tzar Shel Acherim, and to feel. That's perhaps the first step, is to feel the suffering of others. V'chein, darkan shel tzadikin, k'mo sh'amar David alo shalom, m'ni b'chalosam l'vush yisak, u'neisi b'atzom nafshi, she'en l'adam lasos tachanuna v'bakashaso v'tzrochav l'vad. A person should not just think about their own personal needs, their own dalet amis, shalom alai nafshi, my davening is about me and my life and maybe my family, but it has to be broader than that. A person has to have a bigger perspective. Vespala al kol b'nei adam, all human beings. Sheyamdu b'shalom, that everybody should get along. U'b'shloma shel malchus, yesh shalom le'olam. If we have a stable government, then Be'ezras Hashem, we have stability in the world, and all the cholim should have a refuah, and we should all be zoche to only brachos v'atzlachos.
Yeah, I've seen it too.